The Bird Show.
You know what kind of fascinates me a little bit is the science behind things that end up going viral and things that don't end up going viral. Last week, we were talking about the Nutter Butter campaign on TikTok, which has exploded. And we tried to explain to you guys that if you're not on TikTok and you haven't seen it, it's almost like a psychedelic trip of a commercial where it just doesn't seem to make any sense at all. There's a lot of bright colors and nonsense going on the Nutter Butter ads. How do you even explain what it is?
Psychedelic trip is probably a good place to start. You watch it, you're kind of like, what intern came up with this? And you realize a really smart intern because everybody is talking about it.
You know what I found out about that campaign this weekend is that the person that designed that campaign has been out for a year. So it just exploded over the course of the last couple of weeks. So chances are pretty good Nutter Butter trusted somebody with that campaign a year ago and it didn't take off and they fired that person. And now a year later, it's done well.
And they've really committed to the bid. And
they really have. And it's worked, right? So Duncan is at it this morning and it's getting some attention too with a campaign that I don't quite understand.
I'm calling this the Sassy Spider campaign because if you go to Dunkin' Donuts Instagram right now, you're going to see a lot of memes that they've created surrounding their new spider donut, which is this purple donut. It's just your classic donut that's been frosted with a little bit of purple frosting. And then there's a munchkin, which is a donut hole in the middle, and then some frosting spider legs sticking out of it. And then they have little white eyes on it. So it's made to look like a little spider on this donut. And they have captioned the photos of this donut with some really interesting sayings. I'm looking at one that has a photo of the donut and it's captioned, "Your girl said I'm not so itsy bitsy."
Hey, yo.
There's another one where they put a little bow on it and it's captioned, "People be like, LOL, who's this diva?" Which is what the kids are saying when they see somebody look a little sassy on the internet. This one's really jarring. It's a photo again of the spider donut and it's captioned, "I've got the long legs. All I need is the daddy."
There is no such thing. Or be really, really careful when somebody comes to the plate now with an idea that's really bizarre that would have got them fired. Like, what? You're an idiot. Get out of here. Those are the ones that are going viral. So good for Duncan.
Good for Duncan.
All right. So you found yourself a little on the insecure side based on a date that you had with a very specific profession a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Can you imagine going out with someone that you feel like is psychoanalyzing you from start to finish? Because that's what happened to me when I decided to agree to a date with a therapist. And I feel like if you're out in the dating game, you kind of know, like within the first 5 to 10 minutes, you know whether or not this is going somewhere or not. And while I really thought this guy was great, super nice dude, after about 10 minutes, I'm kind of like, this guy's not going to be my boyfriend. So why don't I just ask him every question I've ever wanted to ask my therapist so I can at least get something out of this 1 hour interaction. I don't know if you've ever felt like asking just really jarring questions to your therapist, but you don't really want to cross certain boundaries because when you're paying $200 for an hour, you want to talk about your trauma, not about their experience as a therapist.
I'm very curious to get in your head here for just 1 second. So was there at some point in the date where you realized, okay, there's not going to be a second date, so I might as well use him for his therapy and his psychological background?
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with anything that anybody said. I think when it just comes to chemistry, about 10 minutes, you kind of go, okay, this is just not it. Right. So we might as well have an interesting conversation. And I talk for a living and we can only talk about pop culture for so long. So I was like, why don't we just talk about his job and let me get the inside scoop from a therapist's head. So I do have I have an insecurity about when I go to therapy that I sometimes feel like my problems aren't big enough or they're not important enough. This is notorious because a couple of years ago I had a therapist that worked with incarcerated individuals and I would be sitting there crying about something stupid and yappy and I'd be like, this woman probably talked to somebody on death row today. And so that's where my insecurity came from. So I asked him, because this is a real thought that's inside my head, is, do you ever judge your clients for their problems? Like, do you ever kind of roll your eyes when someone brings something trivial to the table? And do you ever feel like it's just not worth, $200 an hour? And he actually gave me a very comforting answer. He said that he actually really enjoys having clients or a mix of clients that have different types of problems. He's like, if I only talk to people about their childhood trauma all day, every day, it would be so depressing. So he's like, when someone comes to me with like some office gossip, it is nice to take a breather and just feel like I don't mm-hmm. have to like have this heavy conversation.
Yeah, that makes some sense mm-hmm. right there.
100%. I also wanted to know about some of his weird therapy experiences. Like, have you ever had a client where they just said something and you were like, what? And he said, yeah, there were definitely some things that he probably didn't feel comfortable talking about on a first date, but he did talk to me about OCD, which is something that I have. He said, I did have this interesting experience with a client where they kept having these intrusive thoughts that they were going to cut off their arm with an axe, or they were going to hurt somebody with an axe, because somebody had an axe in their garage. Like one of their roommates had like some really scary equipment, and this person just kept having intrusive thoughts that they were going to do something drastic with the axe. And so he said to combat these intrusive thoughts, they decided to do exposure therapy. So the therapist that I was out with decided to bring an axe into into his client session, and they just sat there the whole time with the axe in front of them so that the client could prove to themselves that they weren't going to do anything with the axe, and it was just an intrusive thought.
Boy, that's, risk that, at all.
That's a risk. That's a real risk. There are a couple of industries, I think, that would make you feel a little insecure. I think going out with a dentist.
Same.
Oh, right? Yeah, that's the one that comes to mind. Mm. Hairstylist.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be judging you also.
Yeah. Is my haircut good enough?
Right,
yeah, these
right.
are all people that I've been out with, so it's no wonder that I've got enough insecurities going into my dating life.
The Bird Show.